Truth is censored, one name stands out, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. I want to welcome everybody to This Week with Dr. T. Well, no, that's not true. Today is morning coffee. The week is just blown by and everything kind of runs together. So morning coffee is our weekly open forum question and answer period of time where we can where you can come in and ask questions either through Telegram or on Rumble, where we are live streamed over to, and even on CloudHub. And in different places where we can, where you can ask ask questions, but make sure that you ask the questions in a generic way instead of just personal, so that we, because I can't give individual medical advice, but if you ask the questions generically, then I can answer the question to best suit everyone on the call. So we've been doing this for a long time now. We really are grateful for everybody who shows up here in the morning. And these always get posted over on the Substack later today so that there can be more comments. And please like and share these because the more that you share them, they're free. They're free for you. The more that you share them, the wider the reach is, the better that is for us overall. So I want to thank you so much for everyone being here, for joining us this morning. I'm sure that most of you have heard me talk about for the last couple of months about our new Tenpenny Prime membership. If you're already a monthly supportive member, we are very grateful and so thankful that you are supporting what we do, because this allows us to give you daily podcasts that are posted every day now at 11 a.m. Eastern time. And we do daily posts on Substack. There are things to read and they're little short things. We also post some videos over on Substack, particularly on the Walking with God Substack, where we have our month, our happy hour with Dr. T, which is posted on Tuesdays, and also the Thursday happy hour studies that we do in the deeper dive studies that we've done over the last couple of years. We do that on Thursday. So I want to hope, so your monthly support or your annual support, however you decide to do that, helps us to continue to provide all this free content for everyone, that we hope that this year is a year of education, empowerment, and action. So we want to thank you so much. If you're a new member and you'd like to just come and join us, if you've not been a member before, you can find the new membership link at shop10penny.net. When you go to that site, right up at the top in the middle, it says membership. You can click on the membership. You can see what is all involved with the membership. It's a lot of work for us because we want to provide the best possible things for you. There's a monthly white paper that I write that's usually 12 to 15 pages long. There's a monthly recording that I do on a particular topic. And then there on the Thursday, second Wednesday of the month, we post the white paper. On the third Wednesday of the month, we post the pre-recorded PowerPoint educational PowerPoint presentation. And on the fourth Wednesday of the month, we do an Ask the Expert conversation where you can get together with our experts and really dig, get your answer, your questions answered. This Wednesday, the third Wednesday, on March the 26th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time is an opportunity to speak with Dr. Bashima Williams. She's done a PowerPoint presentation for us, which is just a light overview of what we're going to be able to dig down into and talk to about gut health and GI health. She has an incredible program, and she's our expert for the end of March on March the 26th. If you are a Tenpenny Prime member, that is part of your membership. All you have to do is register and show up at 8 p.m. on Wednesday night. They will be recorded and they will be put into your membership area at shoptenpenny.net or at drtenpenny.com. And if you're not a member, but you'd like to register to be part of the conversation, you can go to, it's a bit.ly link, bit.ly. We use those a lot because that shortens the link and makes it easy to say on podcasts and on radio. It's bit.ly/GIExpert. GI expert, all in lowercase letters. So bit.ly. bit.ly/GIExpert, all in small lowercase letters, GI expert. And that is for March the 26th at 8 p.m. It's $50, it's $49 to join us on Wednesday night. But if you're already a Tenpenny Prime member, this is part of your membership. So you can see that each month as we do have these expert conversations and expert overviews, that it's really saves you money just to become a member and support us. It's less money than to sign up on a monthly basis for our GI expert. Now in April, we are doing reproductive health. So we're going to be doing a section for women reproductive health and a section on men reproductive health. And we're trying to work this out. We're still working out the details on the dates and to put this together. We're actually going to have two Ask the Expert events in April at the end of the month. One for men or for women who want to hear something about male reproductive health for their man. That will be with a urologist that we'll talk about PSA testing and prostate biopsies and problems with testosterone and things like that. We're going to do a thing on men reproductive health, and then we're trying to work something out with Dr. Biss, who's been on our show before, and she has incredible information from the female health perspective. And we may even have a special extra guest on there for you, but it's a ways out for us. I'm just giving you a heads up as a member that April will be Reproductive Health Month. The recorded PowerPoint presentation will be on Gardasil, will be on the Gardasil vaccine. And I'm about a third through writing the white paper for the medical procedures for reproductive health. There's a lot. And so my plan is to get it done today because it's probably 8 to 10 hours worth of work to write that down. So just mark your calendars that we know that April will be reproductive month for the month of April. And we'll be filling you in on more details as time goes on. And I'll say it one more time. If you have not, if you are a member, just mark your calendars for March the 26th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time to join us with Dr. Bashima Williams talking about GI health and gut health. If you're not a member, you can register for that event by going to bit.ly/GI expert, all little case letters. If you make them capital letters, it will not take you to the right link because bit.ly links are case sensitive. So GI expert a little bit there. And another webinar that we're doing on April the 5th, another date that you can mark on your calendars, is because our the parasite webinar that we did, I believe it was in the January, that was so successful and so many people were so excited that Dr. Jason Dean, Dr. Christian Northrup, Dr. Jeff Wolfman, and Dr. Lee Merritt and I, we got together and said, wow, this was really, really, really good. And all four of them were saying there is so much information on so many different things about parasite and getting rid of parasites. And not just those little wiggly critters that are in your GI tract, but emotional and energy parasites. Dr. Chris Northrup actually wrote a book on that. And it's what Dr. Jeff Wolpin has spent his whole life doing, is getting rid of emotional parasites with people. He's an MD that also is trained in integrative medicine. So they're going to be doing a couple of little videos for what this is about. And so they decided, because I'm the moderator and my team, and we are my part of the work is pulling it all together and marketing it and getting the information out, and my incredible team that puts together these great assets. And so the webinar is on April the 5th. It's called Parasitism and the Brain. Parasitism and the Brain. We're also going to be talking about Lyme disease, MS, 5G, mind control, multiple sclerosis, dementia, and unmasking the parasite conspiracy. Dr. Lee Merritt is going to talk a lot about parasites and MS and other neurological diseases. Jeff Woolman is going to be talking about Lyme disease and parasites with Lyme disease. So this is going to be a really popular topic because it involves so many people. It's on April the 5th, which is a Saturday, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., just like we did the last time. 10 a.m. to noon will be the four docs presentations, about a half an hour each, and then we'll have an open forum question and answer. And the last time we went almost 2 hours on the Q&A. So, and that last parasite conference that we did is still available, that you can go and purchase it. I'm not sure where that purchase link is. Is that in, where is that? Is that in Learning for
Shop
You?
Shop10penny.net.
That's in Shop.
Oh, go ahead.
Shop10penny.net. And all of our education things that you talked about today are also in there. So if they go to the Shop10penny.net store, I'll just bring that up real quickly again here. There's Dr. Basima's. But if you click on education, then you can go down through this list. You'll find all the expert series here. Just click on that little arrow and you can see. So if they ever forget the bit.ly link, just go right here. And here's the new parasitism as well as the original parasitism. So just go to shop10penny.net, click on education, and it'll take you right there.
There we go. And for those that are listening, you can find it just by way Michelle explained it. It's also a bit.ly link that you can register, which is bit.ly/Parasite 2, because this is our second seminar. And I'll give you a little hint. If this goes well, like we think it will, we'll have a lot of attendees. And the information, I already know from some of the conversations I've had with the other four docs, it's going to be amazing. And what we're going to be talking about. And Jason already has in mind, you know, a parasite webinar part 3, part 4, part 5. And so hopefully all on different topics and all approaching a different way of approaching parasites and parasitism. Because remember, parasitism isn't just about the little wiggly critters that you may do a detox for and that you may use our, you know, like our product, like the Parashield, to get rid of that out of your system. But we're also talking about energy, emotional, and spiritual parasites. Because Jeff really believes that unless you get rid of the mental, emotional, and spiritual parasites from your body, you're never going to achieve real health. So that webinar, again, just one more time, is on April the 5th. It's a Saturday morning from 10 to 1. You can find that at bit.ly/parasite2, or you can find it by going to shop10penny.net and hovering over the education tab. So we've got a lot of, and since we were talking about parasites, we still have a special deal going on for Parashield. Your first bottle is only $15, and they recommend that you do it for 3 weeks on and 1 week off, 21 days on and then a week off, and then do 2 rounds or maybe even 3 rounds of that. It's an advanced herbal cleanse and detox of the gut. We've seen recently, Chris Northrup has posted a couple of articles that she's read that's talked about the most important herbal products to cleanse your body from parasites. And guess what? They're in Parashield. They're already there. They're already in Parashield. So you can, again, another bit.ly link, bit.ly/DRTShield, all lowercase and all together, DRTShield. For only your first bottle is only if you is only $15, and it's for digestive discomfort. So it goes along with our theme of this month, of this month being GI month, and with our GI expert, Dr. Bashima Williams, that we're going to talk to next week. Experience digestive comfort for bloating, low energy. Shield your gut for the ParaShield. Also cleanse your body from the parasites. And so if you get, so this is kind of all related. So I'm talking, reason I'm talking about this morning is all of these are related, to our Parasite 2 webinar that's coming up, our Ask the Expert that's coming up next Wednesday, and then the special deal that we still have available. And one other really special deal that I think is really cool that we should be able to post up probably, good Lord willing, within the next couple of weeks, is my new book is finally going to be ready. I mean, I was done with the manuscript in December, so it's been a publisher house issue, and my team has been like, you know, kick butt and take names later with these people. I mean, they have really set up to be good guy, bad guy, and to really get this book out because it's so timely and so necessary. And the title of the book is Zero Accountability in a Failed System, How Big Pharma Weaponized Vaccines, Public Health, and the Law. And it turned out to be a little bit longer than I thought it was going to be. I was aiming for about 280 pages, and it's really about 390 pages. Lots and lots of good information. All the people that have read it so far have said, I thought I knew this material, but I never knew the things that you uncovered, or I never knew the way that you put it together. When we talk about healthy people, the Healthy People Program that started in 1980, where they're headed with Healthy People 2030, and why when you hear about all the World Economic Forum people and all of the globalists talk about 2030, it all comes from here. We talk about the PrEP Act, and we talk about the horrible cover countermeasure injury compensation program that really doesn't exist. So I talk about that. We talk about bird flu from 2005 and bird flu currently. There's a whole bunch of stuff in there about vaccine adjuvants and how and why they started adding adjuvants to flu shots. I mean, it's just, I'm really proud of it. It took a lot of work from me to get this thing all written and put together. It took an enormous amount of work from my team. And they are the ones that made this cover that Michelle has shown up there for you, what the cover is like. They made the cover. Jackie is just absolutely, her eyeballs have just fallen out with all the edits and all of the reads and rereads that have done and everything that we've done to get this book out and to get it in your hand. So it is coming this month, finally. I had a targeted date for release of the book on March the 17th. I wanted to do it this Monday. This publishing house that we've been using they're challenging. And so we didn't quite meet that deadline, but within the next couple of weeks, we will. And if you want to see a sneak peek, you can go to drtenpenny.com/0. We've got a ton of you, a lot of people that signed up to be on our book launch team, like a couple hundred. And we've got some special things in store for you if you have been part of our launch team to get this out and to get reviews up on Amazon and to really push this book forward. I think it's something, if you've been in the health freedom movement and you've been following me and been involved with the vaccine issue for a long time, this is a must-have book that you'll want to keep in your, have on your bookshelf. And I think you'll really enjoy it. Heather has read it. Jackie has read it several times. LFA has read it. And I have a few other friends that have read it. And they said it reads like a suspense thriller. It doesn't read like a nonfiction book. So I think that not only will you get educated from the book, I think that it will be a good read, that you'll enjoy reading it. So that's all coming up. And I think that's about it. Anything that I forgot, Michelle?
I would just say for anybody who's listening, who's on our launch team, our book launch team, that you are going to get an email very, very soon with an option to pre-order the book. You'll be the first ones to be able to get a pre-order. We're going to start with the ebooks until our print is ready to go. But you'll be able to read the book and go ahead and give us a review on Amazon. You'll be the first ones anyway. So anyone who's on our book launch team, keep an eye out in your emails because we are going to be sending you some information very soon.
Very, very good. Okay. So let me see what's in here. Let me get this down here where I can play with it a little bit. Oh, there we go. Okay. And then I'll move this back up. Okay, so the first question in the Q&A this morning, I love this, Mark. Thank you so much for this question. Now that RFK Jr. has been confirmed, will Fauci be held accountable? Well, it's the $64 million question, if you guys remember that show from a long time ago. What is the $64 million question? But I certainly hope so. You know, I think the steps of this thing that Trump is working on right now with this auto pen thing, of this auto pen signing all these things. And I've asked, you know, I'm on a lot of different Signal pages with different conversations with different groups. And, you know, this issue, I said, so when do people use an auto pen? And apparently it's been around for a long time. And usually they use it to sign like letters back to constituents and little memos that maybe they dictated somebody, then somebody typed it up or printed it out. And it's just, it's like a signature stamp is really what this, what auto pen is. It's a signature stamp. Well, you're not supposed to use a stamp on official documents. So if the auto pen was used to sign legislation and to sign, these pardons that came out, like Fauci and all these people that were pardoned, now it's winding its way through the Department of Justice of whether or not Biden was competent enough, A, to know what he was signing, and B, to be able to make a decision on what he was signing. I remember, I don't know if you guys remember this, but right after the election, when he was sitting in what we now know is a fake office, because they've actually found it, it's like a Hollywood set. They actually found the office where, because he wasn't in the Oval Office, where he was signing all these executive orders. And even he said, what am I signing here? I hope this is good. I'm not, you know, what am I signing all of these things for? So the mental competency issue, particularly on very important things like pardons and legislation, I think that that's all going to come under scrutiny by the new Department of Defense. And keep in mind, you know, Trump has only been in office since January 20th, and it's not, and this is essentially March the 20th. So 2 months, and they've already full steam ahead. Well, I'm hoping that so that these pardons will go away. And remember, RFK Jr. wrote the book on the real Dr. Fauci. So he has no love lost over that. So, and I was nominated, but I haven't heard anything. Nobody that I know of in my circles has heard anything. And there's been some gossip. It's not been confirmed, but gossipy sorts of things that many people are questioning of whether or not RFK is just getting the golden handcuffs on his hands up at NIH of whether or not he's being allowed to get the people in place and get the situations in place. I don't know if you guys listened to my 2-minute video that I did a couple of days ago about really all listening to these hearings. And I listened to almost all, like the whole 2 hours on almost all of the, like Jay Bhattacharya and Dr. McCary and Dr. Oz, and of course, RFK's confirmation. And then the pulling the rug out from underneath Dave Weldon from being the head of the CDC and all of the talk about that. But it was it's pretty obvious that those senators were reading scripts written by their masters and that they were taking people to task to make sure that they would bend a knee and continue to worship at the altar of vaccinology and never question whether they were safe, never question the research studies that had been published that had all been funded, or many of them funded by the pharmaceutical industry, to never, ever make the connection between vaccines and autism, or even question it. Like, maybe we should really look at this for the first time. And for Cassidy to say, why are we going to waste valuable dollars and valuable hours on something that has been confirmed and been completed? And we know there's no connection based on a 30-year-old Wakefield paper that had to be withdrawn. You guys all know the story. If you've been following me for a long time, or you've been part of the vaccine movement for a long time, you know the story, and it's ridiculous. But, you know, serious, in with all of that aside, in all seriousness, if the vaccine program went away, and I'm working on a project with Dr. Artis about vaccines, it's going to be huge. And some of the numbers that I pulled up last night were just atrocious, of the number of vaccines that kids get at 6 months, 1 year, and 5 years. So this big push and the big focus on food and baby formulas and getting the red dyes and things like that out of our food, it's, yes, it's important. And we absolutely must do it. And I'm not in any way saying that it's not important. I'm just saying that if we don't stop giving kids 29 vaccines by the time they're 1 year of age, before they even sit down in their high chair and start with their finger foods of Cheerios and the different things like that, their guts have already been destroyed. And their brains, many of their brains have been destroyed. Like Dr. Andy Wakefield had said in one of the presentations, I heard him say, if you just shave off a few IQ points with every one of those vaccines, they may not have overt seizures and autism and ADD and ADHD and cancer and asthma. They may not have really overt signs of inflammation and illness, but you just shaved off a few IQ points. What does that do long-term? And what does that do to the genetics long-term when they grow up and then they have babies? It's a real problem. And the pharmaceutical masters are not going to go away easily. And it seems as though to get into that club, you have to bow and kneel and worship at the altar of vaccinology. And I was kind of hoping I was being able to get in there and, like, you know, kick some butt. But I don't know if that's going to happen. And so maybe if that doesn't happen in from the inside perspective at inside of government, we just keep all of us and all you guys that are listening and all the people that are part of this, we just keep slashing away, death by a thousand cuts, you know, that expression, to just keep getting more and more people aware, more and more people understand what the ingredients are, what the ingredients do to your system. When Dr. Artis and I were had our meeting yesterday, he had just come across this study that showed that neomycin can cause you to have a respiratory collapse. And neomycin is an antibiotic that is in many of the vaccines. So we've got a big project in store of what we're going to be working on. He and I are going to be meeting every 2 weeks, as we've got little assignments, and then every 2 weeks we'll get together, and hopefully we'll be able to release this big project by the end of the year, and it's going to be great. That's a little teaser of something that Brian and I are working on for humanity. That's going to be really, really good. So stay tuned. We'll keep you all informed as time goes on. But it's a big project, and it's going to be good when it's done. So Mark, back to your question. I was nominated in that whole thing that they really never did anything with, and I'm really hoping that RFK and or other people in Congress and or President Trump and or the head of national intelligence will get Tulsi Gabbard involved with this. Maybe Cash Patel at the FBI, Pam Bondi, get her looking at this. Remember, it's only been 60 days. We've got a few more years. So, and I listened to a C-SPAN recording last night of it was a committee meeting, a Senate committee meeting talking about DOGE. And the Democratic senators continue to make, pardon my French, but continue to make asses of themselves. You know, screaming and hollering about things that aren't even true and aren't even happening. But yet, as the Republican senators on this panel said, I haven't heard any, you know, all you people are talking about all the stuff that was uncovered by DOGE and, you know, that DOGE is going to do away with Social Security, which they're not. We're going to cut out the fraud and abuse and the ripoffs of Social Security, people getting checks that shouldn't be getting them. But the people that deserve checks that have earned for them, people that have children on Social Security, they're not doing anything with that. Same thing with Medicare and Medicaid. And yet they're screaming about what they're doing to Medicare and Medicaid. All they're doing is taking out the fraud and abuse. And the Republican senators were saying, I haven't heard any of you guys over there say, isn't it a good thing that they have found, you know, billions of dollars of waste now? I haven't heard anybody say anything about that. And then there's a judge that wanted a plane full of horrible criminals to turn around and bring them back to the country? Whoa. I heard a Gutfield say the other night on his show, he says, yeah, they'll find one person that maybe was a low-level criminal that maybe should not have come in there, and then they're going to upend all of it because we are ripping people out of this country and sending them away. We should be grateful that these countries are willing to take them and put them in their jail system. And yes, we paid some money for that, but think about how much money we're saving by not having thousands and thousands of criminals from a known cartel running around burning things down and beating people and raping and murdering and killing people. I think that they're doing the right thing. And the American people are really behind it, which is really, really important. So I'm really hopeful that as things continue to unfold, they will go in the right direction. That's why we're supposed to pray for our leaders. Pray for our leaders to have wisdom and to make good decisions and to do things that are in right for the country, right by the Constitution, and right by how the Lord wants a good manager to manage a big business, which the United States, USA Inc. is. So we pray for them to have wisdom and discernment as they continue to roll out these things that we voted for. So I hope that that's that all takes care of that. So the next question is Lyme and parasites. Can you tell us about how one impacts the other? Well, that's what the webinar is for. We're going to be talking about that on the webinar of how Lyme is kind of a parasite. Dr. Wolfman, Jeff Wolfman, is from New England. So that is the area of the country where we see the largest concentration of Lyme disease. Yes, it occurs in other parts of the country too, but primarily in the Northeast. So he's going to be talking about parasites, parasitism, Lyme disease, MS, neurological things in terms of dementia, and how parasites impact all of that. So So that's a good reason for you to sign up for the webinar. And right now the webinar is on a 35% discount. If you go to the that site that we gave you, that Bitly site, and you use the code BRAIN2, all capital letters, you get 35% off. So it's a 35% discount right now. If you register today, I think that goes for another week or so. If you go to the bit.ly link, bit.ly/parasite2, and then at checkout, use the code BRAIN2, all capital letters, BRAIN2, you will be able to register for the course at a 35% discount. Doesn't get any better than that, guys. It's really pretty good. Okay, Cookie, are you there? Any questions over on Rumble?
I am here. There is one question. Would cranial osteopathy benefit someone suffering from depression and anxiety? And if so, how?
Well, that's a very good question. And the answer is, I can't say 100% yes, but I can say there's a very high possibility that it can. Because what cranial osteopathy does, remember that there's 22 little bones in the brain, or I'm sorry, 22 bones in the skull, and they all move in a lock and key sort of easy fluctuation. And if you've had any head trauma, if you've played volleyball or if you've played soccer and you've been hit in the head, you use your head to hit that really hard soccer ball, or you've been had a traumatic brain injury from a car accident, had a stroke, what the cranial osteopathy does is it increases the fluctuation. So the bones go rotate out laterally. They call that inspiration and then expiration, inspiration and expiration. And as they rotate in, the frontal and occipital bones come out. So it's like a little, an accordion that moves like 2 to 3 millimeters at a time. And when those bones are out of alignment, you don't get proper blood flow and you don't get a proper lymphatic flow. So by doing cranial manipulation, I mean, it really does help with the circulation and the lymphatic flow. And remember, in cranial manipulation, because you're realigning things and stimulating even the brainstem then will improve function that goes to all the rest of your body through the cranial nerves. So all the rest of your heart benefits, your lungs benefit, your GI tract benefits. And then there's this connection between the bones in your head as they move and your sacrum. So that's why they call it a cranial sacral mechanism. And somebody that's really highly trained, because it's a very subtle motion, but it has been documented to really occur on a real-time MRI that they've done in France, that that they show this, the fluctuation, the wave of the cerebral spinal fluid as it goes up into the brain and back down in the spinal cord. And it's amazing to me that doctors don't think that this exists. When I was a medical student, when they were talking about, when you think about long bones, like in your wrist and in your femur, in your leg, and bones at your elbow, like when you're born, you've got growth plates. You've got places where that allows the bone to grow. That's what makes you go from being a baby to an adult in size, is through the growth plates. But when you stop growing, those growth plates fuse. Now you can see on X-ray where the growth plate was. There's a line there of where they have fused and grown together. But the bones of your skull don't, they always have these interdigitations there. They don't grow together and fuse into a solid bone. And they have these, if you've seen a picture of a skull, you see the little squiggly lines between the different bones of the head. And that's because there's motion there. It never stops. In fact, some of the old time osteopaths have said it's the seat of the cranial mechanism is the seat of the soul. It's the last thing that stops when you die. Your heart stops beating, your lungs stop breathing, your GI motility stops, but that the cranial mechanism goes on for a couple of more minutes until it stops. And why wouldn't it be a dynamic system? Every other organ system in our body is dynamic. You know, your heart beats and it vibrates out through your blood vessels, your lungs expand, contract, everything with your GI motility, you know, from the time you eat down through your entire intestinal tract. In your kidneys, it has little peristaltic waves that the urine passes down into your bladder. Everything is dynamic in our system. Why would our central nervous system, the most important system in our entire body, with your brain, why would that be a static system that has no movement? When you logically think that through, it's like, huh, I guess you're right. And because they've actually shown it in real-time MRIs now, that you can actually feel it. It's a couple of millimeters in each direction. So it's a really good question about cranial manipulation. Thank you for asking that. Cranial manipulation in the hands of, I'm really biased in terms of a highly trained osteopath. I'm a little bit biased against people who've taken the Upledger courses and that are massage therapists. And there are some that are obviously very, very good, but there are many who are not, because Upledger will allow anybody to take that course. You can be a truck driver or mow yard or anything and take this course, because he just looks at cranial manipulation as a technique that anybody can learn how to do. But it has pervasive effects through the whole rest of your body. And I think it needs to be in the hands of highly trained people. So you can probably find an Upledger practitioner, maybe where you are, people listening to this across the country. And you can find good ones, but I would stick to a cranial osteopath. And I say that within full disclosure of my personal bias about that. My personal bias as being a cranial osteopathic physician, I fully admit my bias. So there you go.
There's a follow-up, Dr. T. Is there a website or some place where people can look to see if there is a cranial osteopathic physician in their area?
Another good question. Yes, if you go to the American Academy of Osteopathy, not the AOA, go to the American, and you have to type that in your browser. You can't just put in AAO, because there's several organizations that have those three letters. But it's the American Academy of Osteopathy is the subset of the osteopathic organization. If you have the American Osteopathic Association up here, then every subspecialty of medicine has its own thing, like the American College of Cardiology and ER and Pulmonology. Well, the AAO is the subdivision for people that really specialize in musculoskeletal medicine and in cranial osteopathy. And so they have a practitioner finder on there that you go in and you like put in your zip code, and within like 25 or 50 miles. I'll be honest with you, it doesn't work very well. It really, that their search on that site doesn't work very well, but you can call them. Their home office is in Indianapolis. The people there are delightful to talk to. I've talked to them a lot of times about various things, about CME courses and all kinds of things. They're really lively and people. And if you call and you say, hey, I'm from, you know, Timbuktu, Arkansas, or wherever it is that you're from, and I'm looking for a osteopathic physician, and your practitioner finder isn't working very well in my area, and they'll help you. They will help you find somebody. There is another website. It is called it's called the Cranial Academy, and I believe it's cranialacademy.org. That's another group that inside of osteopathic medicine, there's two schools of thought. One, people that go to the AAO, and then the Cranial Academy. And they have, over the years, over the last, I don't know, 40, 50 years, they have different instructors and a little bit different in philosophy. But the training and what you learn to do with your hands is really essentially the same. But that's another area. I think it's called, it's either cranialacademy.org or the Cranial Academy. And they, too, have a practitioner locator. I don't know if that's any better than the AAOs, but those are two places where you might find them. And cranial osteopathy works just so amazingly well with babies and infants. I mean, back in the day, when I opened my very first office practice, when I was still in Findlay, this would have been in the early 90s, I treated quite a few kids that had autism or were on the spectrum. And my only tool in my toolbox at that point in time was my hands with cranial osteopathy, and saw amazing changes in the behaviors of these children. This one little boy, I'll never forget, this was 50 years ago. No, not that long ago. 30 years ago, when he was fairly advanced with autism. And I think he was about maybe 4 or 5. And his dad really wanted to try this to see if this would really help. And when they first brought him into the office, three adults had to hold him down on the bed because he didn't want to lay there. He didn't want me to put my hands on his head. He was just all over the place. And I did the best I could. And by about the fourth or fifth visit, he started to have a little bit of language, and he came would come into the treatment room and crawl up on the table on his own and lay there quietly. So even with the disruptions that I had and the struggle and kind of, you know, your hands are kind of going all over the place like this, we were able to make really good progress with him. And people that have tongue ties and cross bites and, you know, lots of things in the jaw. I mean, we've done a lot of things with that. So years and years ago, this would have been in the early 90s, I was dating somebody who was a fellow osteopath, and he actually, his whole practice was on osteopathic manipulation and cranial osteopathy, and his office happened to be inside the hospital. He had an office that was inside the hospital, and he would be called down to labor and delivery after every birth and do cranial osteopathy on these newborn babies. And he said probably 7 out of 10 of them, they were just fine, you know. But think about it. You got something this big going through a hole this big. And what one of our trainers used to say to us, he said, think about what babies are doing as they come through the birth canal, you know, with the constriction of the uterus. They're using their head as a battering ram against that cervix to open it up. And to, you know, your head is like a battering ram. When they come out, you know, that you've got something this big going through a hole this big. And so the bones have to squeeze together to get through that hole. And most of the time, when babies take their first big breath, that's why I've always been opposed to water births that they don't allow kids to cry, because that first big breath is so important for popping all those cranial bones back to where they need to be, for getting the meconium out of their lungs, for expanding their lungs completely. That first big cry, you know, I mean, 100 years ago when they used to take the kids and whack them on the butt, I don't agree with that. But they wanted these children to cry for a reason, is because it opened up their brain, opened up their lungs, started their peristalsis going. It was so important. And what he would do is he would go down, he said maybe 7 or 8 out of 10, you know, when the kids start to cry, things are meant to start to work. And, you know, babies have been born for thousands of years without medical intervention. He said, but there was maybe usually 1 or 2 that maybe while they were in the middle of their, you know, their battering or their head going down in the canal, that perhaps their heads were twisted or they had a shoulder dystocia, that the shoulders were really large and they really had to twist, or they had a hand presentation, or they were breech, you know, coming out, you know, with their butt first. That he said there was maybe 2 out of the 10 that needed a 1 or 2 follow-up visits in his office after mom went home from the hospital, and maybe a week or two later would bring him back to do a little bit more of releasing those cranial bones and getting back into the normal place. So cranial osteopathy, it changed my life. I mean, I was a board-certified emergency medicine physician that was the director of a level 2 trauma center. And I was, you know, and my business partner in there, Dave Fronsek, when Dave died of metastatic kidney cancer, I was done with medicine. It wasn't fun being in the ER anymore. And without Dave being there, I was pretty heartbroken, and because we were such good friends and he was such a good doc. And I had gone to my financial advisor at that time. This would have been about 1994. And I went to my physician, my advisor, and I said, I don't want to do medicine anymore. I'm going to go and I'm going to get an MBA and maybe a law degree and figure out if there's something in the world that I can do, that I can take my medical knowledge and experience and maybe be a lawyer and combine those into something. I don't know what. And he was like, you can't do that. I said, what do you mean I can't do that? He said, you're so good with your hands, because I had fixed his back problem when nobody else could, even as an ER doc. And all the nurses in the ER always wanted me to treat him every day. They'd pull the cover, the pads off of the beds, and we'd lay them on the table. Like every time I'd come in there, everybody wanted a treatment. He said, you can't do this. I said, I just don't like doing medicine anymore. I'm kind of done. I never really liked it to begin with. He said, isn't there some big meeting somewhere that where DOs get together and do DO things, you know, like osteopathy and cranial and stuff like that? And I said, yeah, there's an annual meeting called, you know, it's called Convo. We call it Convo. It's convocation. It's always in March. And this just so happened to be like in February. And he said, I will pay for you to go to this conference. And if you go to this conference and you spend, you know, 4 or 5 days, 4 days, however long it was, with a bunch of your DO colleagues that actually do DO things, and they, you know, use their hands and do cranial osteopathy and things like that. He said, if you come back and you still say, nope, I'm done, I want to go do something else. He said, okay, he said, I'll help you do that. But I want you to really see whether or not this is really can get you re-energized about medicine and healthcare again. I said, well, okay. So I'm thinking free trip. This is good. It was in Dallas. And so he paid for everything. He paid for the conference and the hotel and my airfare. And I went down there and I watched Hollis King, who's one of the icons in our osteopathic profession, treat a baby with cranial manipulation. And the whole time there was this conversation over time. I never forgot this. This was 1994. And I went to this, and this video was this baby was 16 months old and had not yet slept one night through the whole night. It was always up and always crying and cranky and acted like he was in pain and just couldn't get comfortable. And the mom was sitting there, she had dark circles under her eyes and was just all completely worn out. And so he's talking through this whole history of this baby while he's treating this infant on the table. It's just like a flat table, looks like a massage table is what our tables look like. And somebody's recording it. And in the middle of him treating this baby, the baby kind of took a gasp and its arms went back. And it just got kind of relaxed. And the mom looked like, oh, my gosh, what happened? And the baby opened his eyes and kind of smiled. And she took him home, and he slept 16 hours, first time in his life. And I'm sitting in this room full of 500 osteopathic physicians watching this, or not watching. I'm crying my eyes out. I'm sobbing. And everybody's kind of turning around looking at me like, what's the matter? What's going on back there? And I was like, oh my gosh, this is what osteopathy is supposed to be all about. So I went back to Toledo, which is where I was living in Findlay at the time. And I told my financial advisor the whole story, like I just said to you. And it was not too long after that I opened my first office in Findlay, that I was telling you about treating that small little autistic child. I went and took 80 hours of training. It was 2 40-hour classes, really intense stuff. And came back and opened my office doing osteopathic manipulation and acupuncture and cranial osteopathy, and moved to Cleveland in 1996. And here I am. The rest is history. So that's just a little background on how cranial osteopathy it really changed my life. And I'm hoping that whoever answered that question, that you can find a good osteopathic physician that can treat you or your children or whoever that you were inquiring about.
You know, Dr. T, I have to say, him sending you to that conference, that sounds like a godly intervention to me.
It probably was, because I'm serious. I was, the door was closed. It wasn't even like there was, like it was closing. It was closed. After Dave died, I couldn't think of anything I wanted to do less than go to work every day and go to the ER. And medicine was always, from the time that I graduated from medical school, it was never really a big passion for me, because it was a little boring. It was like, you mean I spent all of these years of my life to learn this? Really, this? And so I was looking for the next mental challenge, and the next mental challenge that came into my life was the vaccine issue. And the reason that I've stayed so involved with that probably over all of these years is because there's so many moving parts. There's always something else going on that keeps me mentally in the fight, you know, whether it's politics or a new vaccine or a new adjuvant or a new disease or all the stuff like we just went through with COVID or all those things is because it, there's always something to learn. And so I was done. I mean, really seriously, I joined the Executive Healthcare Association that was talking about executives in healthcare and other things they did. I actually even applied to law school. I mean, I was done. And so you're probably right, Cookie. It was like God had other plans. You know how they always say that expression? You want to hear God laugh, tell him your plans.
Well, you know, Dr. Tenpenny, your first mistake was saying that it was too boring because he said, oh, you want excitement. Well, here you go. You got what you asked for.
Well, I did. And like I said, with the vaccine thing, you know, it's always something new, always something to write about, always something to research, always some battle to fight in politics or, you know, the law. I don't do legal work anymore because that was really hard. But here we are. And I just wrote the book, Zero Accountability in a Failed System. So all the years of study and things that I've done, I've kind of thrown into that book. So I hope you guys will get it and you'll enjoy it. There's one last question. I think we've got just a couple of minutes. There's one last question. Mark posts another question. Let's see. It's about ECP. Let me just read this. Oh, it's about his 92-year-old father that has done 23 of his 35 sessions of ECP. He did the full 35 sessions 2 years ago. I was able to persuade his cardiologist and have done it again. And luckily, covered by his insurance. Well, if he was having chest pain, it would be covered by his by his insurance. Yes, it is. Oh, so the quite real question here is I wanted to make sure it's safe to do another 35. Absolutely, it is. Insurance really only pays for 35. It doesn't pay for follow-up visits. It doesn't pay for a maintenance package. It doesn't do any of that. If you can get your insurance to do that, that's great. But, and particularly because he's on Medicare, if he's 92, the only way is if you, the primary diagnosis is refractory angina. Like he still has chest pain, even though he's medically managed. So the treatment is it safe to do 35? Absolutely it is. We've got you can see it on the website. There's a physician that comes into our clinic that I think he's had pretty close to 100 treatments. He's done several series of 35. I've got patients that, you know, have done the 35 and then 6 months later they come in and do another 10. We are moving our center to Venice, Florida, April 1st. And April 1st, that the center that's in Cleveland is going to be moving to Florida. Now, we still have our center out in Ventura, which is doing very well, by the way. I announced last week when we had our, the girls did, when we did our morning coffee, and then I did an X space about ECP I think it was on Wednesday or Thursday of last week. And then we had a spring event at our location in Ventura. It was pretty well attended, and that clinic is growing and seems to be pretty stable. And so anybody that's within a, you know, 30, 45 minute driving distance of Ventura, that's still going to be our center there. But the one in Cleveland is moving to Venice, Florida. And if you were a participant here and you had a few sessions left, they're willing to honor them in Florida where we're going down there. So it's gonna be really good. The place that we're moving into down there, they do a lot of services. They have a salt room. They do a lot of IVs. They have a soft chamber hyperbaric. They have a HOCAT. They're setting up massage stuff there. It's a really big center, and ECP down there is going to do really, really well. And I believe they're opening a second location in Sarasota, which is kind of interesting because Venice is only about 30 minutes from Sarasota. But I guess it's kind of like Cleveland. You know, Cleveland's got the Cuyahoga River that splits it down the center, and there's the east side and the west side. And you would think they were hours apart, but people on the east side don't really want to go to the west side and vice versa, even though it's at most like a 25, 30 minute drive. So Sarasota to Venice must be the same sort of mindset. And Tampa to Sarasota is about 45 minutes or so, and it's kind of the same thing. So we're going to be setting that up down there, getting the people trained. I will probably be going down soon and be doing some marketing and some things down there with them. So the bottom line is, Mark, is it safe to do the full 35 again? Yes, absolutely. We have thought about franchising them out. We'll see in the next 6 months where life takes us. We've got a lot of irons in the fire. So anything else over there, girls, or anything else you want me to mention as we close out for today?
I think this one can be answered really quickly, if you want to take it. Is there a blood test to measure level of spike and presence of mRNA for non-vaxxed?
No. Not for vaxxed either. There are blood antibodies that show that you've had exposure to the spike protein. And there have been some people who've said, well, if there are certain levels, that means you have spike protein present. But there is no diagnostic test, no saliva, urine, stool, blood test that I can go to Quest or LabCorp today and say, I want a blood test to measure the amount of mRNA or spike protein in my blood. There's none of that. And that's why I've said, I think it's not accurate to say you're going to do these treatments that are going to remove the spike protein. I hope they do. I hope these treatments do, people that are advocating for things. I hope that they help. But to my knowledge, and I'm happy to be wrong and report back differently, there is no way to quantify that. There's no way. So with that, we are done for today. This has been an interesting conversation that we've had this morning. And I want to thank everyone who's been joining us here for our coffee clatch at Morning Coffee with Dr. T. That is now 11 o'clock on Wednesday mornings. It will be reposted. The recording of this will be reposted over on Substack. I think it's later today, or I think it's later today when Diane gets it up there. We do our 5 days a week, you know, every day. Now we've got a live podcast at 11 a.m. that's recorded and stays up there. So if you aren't able to join us at 11, you can look at it later in the evening or the next day. And we post every day things on Substack for you to read. They're short. We also have videos up there for you, particularly for 10pennywalkwithgod.substack.com. And so we hope that you'll join us, and we really hope that you'll join us and support the work that we do by becoming a 10penny Prime member by going to shop10penny.net, hovering over the membership tab and seeing what the membership is all about. We hope that you will sign up for us next Wednesday night with Dr. Bashima, Ask the Expert, on March the 26th at 8 p.m. And you can find all those links by going to shop10penny.net, and you can look at those again. Sign up for the parasitism webinar that's going to be on April the 5th, or at least mark your calendar. Remember, right now it's available at 35% discount, and don't forget to get your Parashield for your first bottle is $15 off. So with that, I want to thank everybody for being here today, and I close out with one of my favorite verses from the Bible. I close all my podcasts with, whether they are live or pre-recorded, which is Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in trouble, because trouble will come. But always be persistent in prayer. So the next time, lean into God. Trust him for everything. He will never let you down. We'll see you again next week, same place, same time. Have a good week, everybody. Thank you to all my team that's been with me here this morning. See everybody else. Goodbye and God bless.
Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant. You can take it when you're nursing. You can give it to little children. You can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out, the heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch with in our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years.
Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50.